whatever he wants to talk about. I said, but let me just tell you this. I don't think Henry Kissinger would be the best fundraiser in the world. We've got people to do that. I said, Henry's a very good foreign policy advisor who's committed to the fact that the president is pursuing it in the right way and so forth. And I'm sure he's going to be talking about that. But I said, Henry's got an awful lot to do around here. There's a lot happening in terms of foreign policy, and I know he spends most of his day working here at the White House. When he wants to go out to a lunch, I'm sure he feels free to do that and says what he wants to about foreign and so forth. I said, no matter what kind of a negative twist a columnist tries to put on him, I said, we wouldn't do that. Got into the dams and dikes thing a little bit, and I referred it to Rogers, and I made it clear that our policy had been stated clearly. I stayed away from Waldheim, but I made the point, that I said, look, you guys have been around for a long time. Most of you a lot longer than I have been. I said, even I can see that this is a very clearly patterned propaganda effort on the part of the North Vietnamese. I said, all of you know that there are 2,000 miles in the complex of the North Vietnamese dams and dike structure. All of you know that each year there's flooding that occurs in the North Vietnam. All of you know that each year the North Vietnamese try and blame that flooding on the United States. And I said, there's an effort here that is, I think, quite obvious.
Especially this year, because it impacts the dike structure.
Our policy clearly stated about this. There's nothing more to say. Well, what about Trump's? What about the civilian killing and so forth? Civilian deaths. I said, Helen, the reason we are taking the action of providing air power against military installations, supply installations in the north, is because the North Vietnamese sent down 15 divisions in the south to conduct war. I said, when war occurs, unfortunately, death occurs. That is why we are making every effort, the president is making every effort, to end the killing by stopping this system, by solving the situation through negotiated settlement. There's nothing more to it than that, which, you know, without saying what about the killing in the South, I don't know if that point that we don't know that. Property review board. Stated position, it's the administration's position that we need the security assistance legislation for national defense in order to conduct a foreign policy which we feel is the right foreign policy for this country to pursue. I say to the president, you know, I said there are a number of actions that can take place now to achieve a security assistance bill. Other congressional actions can take place within the Senate itself, or we still have the House, which has under consideration legislation now in committee. We're hopeful that the House will move that and give the Senate another chance to reconsider. From the President's standpoint, from the administration's standpoint, we intend to pursue a legislation to provide for a security assistance bill. Amendment for unilateral withdrawal and fund cutoff. We we've said before, hinders our efforts to bring them into the war through the negotiated settlement, and indeed could do those negotiations much harm.
That's right. So, let me ask you, we were talking about what we ought to do in terms of the President of the Austin Convention.
One of the, if I can, you've asked me, so I'll give you my personal observation. One of the observations that I've made, this is a presumption, I'm not a vice president this way, but after the thing at the airport, I'm convinced that he doesn't go through the process before a press section, a session of preparation. And that's why he makes the errors. And that's why I listen to the tape.
We didn't have time, he's too busy.
Well, that's my point. The morning, the morning. Down there, he was there until 11 o'clock. I called 10:30. I called Vic Gold at about 10 to 11. 10 to 11, and he was, you know, was still not. He was there with Vic Gold, I guess, going over some stuff. But you don't have time there when you get showered after tennis and cool down after two, three hours of tennis. You don't have time to adjust your mind to this
and to be up for it.
And you could tell.
You've
got to prepare for it. You've got to over prepare for it.
You've got to be sharp and so forth, particularly as you get older. There's a little bit more time each time to be really up.
And when there's not preparation, you make mistakes.
He doesn't really. He is the type that you would rather be in here getting. You would look forward to the challenge of a press conference and the opportunity to figure out how you can get some of your points across. You'd spend the morning here because you wanted to. You wouldn't even consider going out to play tennis.
I don't.
On a morning like that. Or, well, forget about tennis, but if you were down in San Clemente, you wouldn't consider going out for a swim that far.
The time to play,
you should rather do that, even though you love to go out for a swim.
I wouldn't rather do it, but I'll tell you what, the point is, to me, I mean, I don't, in the so-called challenge of the press conference, I mean, the excitement, the press conference, the bullshit, I know it's important.
Well, that's the
thing. I mean, I don't want to just speak to the opportunity. I'd rather just sit in my ass. But the point is, I know you have to. And if you have to do it, it's like taking the bars or anything else. You've got to sit in your men, and remember that the most important thing you can do is to take off whatever's necessary for a press conference in a couple of days, more or less. I don't take off that much for one in here, but for the average one, I take 2 days. And I take the day of and the time the damn thing's on.
You see, if you prepare, then when the question comes, like Eagleton, then you have thought out what you're going to say. I am convinced, in listening to the tape, that he did not think that out. And the question came to him in such a way that if he was not going to say anything about Eagleton, the question came in such a way that he was forced into a comment. But
I wonder if the problem may be, too, Bob, a little bit of cockiness. What people feed to him. He's got a lousy staff. You know, he also has these celebrity types that, you know, tell him he's the greatest thing since cream cheese. And I think this may be part of the problem. He probably needs. Let me ask the thing. How about trying Carlo again? Did he do
Pierpoint came in and asked me about that. I said,
what did he say? I didn't see.
Senator Scott said that the president had reprimanded the vice president to tone down his rhetoric and
maybe at that level it's okay because Scott says so many things aren't true. But you see my problem there, that they'll say that I'm not going to comment on that anyway. They asked me, I'm going to hold hard in the line, but no comment on political matters.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to do it now. I'm not going to do it then. And my view about the thinking about this after the convention, I don't believe that I can be in the position after the convention of not talking about political matters, but I had a way and I thought you would do it. Try it. I think after the convention, when we got those jackasses out there, you know, in California, that I would do an informal on the grass over the house.
Don't answer the political question. Just move it to a statement of what you advocate, what you've done.